This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. This week's episode is sponsored by Pepsi and Indeed. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for Blue Wire. And joining me is my co-host, former NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. What's up, bro?
What's up, man? Got some an emergency pod going on here.
Yeah, this is essentially an emergency pod. I sent Crocker a text earlier when some news broke. I was like, hey, man, you want to jump on there? And, you know, we had to wait a little bit. Right before I jumped on here, I had an amazing Warzone clutch, bro. Like, it was intense. Like, should I go into it? Should I explain it?
Yeah, of course.
All right, I'll make it quick. Okay, so we were playing trios, and if you don't know what Warzone is, it's Call of Duty's version of Battle Royale, where you have to be the last team to survive. And so we had to cross this open field. My two teammates get taken out. I managed to get behind a rock, and I'm kind of just waiting there, hoping that team would forget about me. Well, that other team, there was three other teams of three still alive. It was actually a little bit less than that. Not all the teams were full, but... So they started fighting other people, and the circle started closing in, and I ran up this huge hill. It was like on the side of a hill. I ran around. I end up coming up behind a dude who was by himself, and right as I'm coming up to kill him, he turns around, and he almost killed me, but I got him. So I get a little bit of ammo from him. I was already running out of ammo. So I'm on my last leg here. And this team that's on the bottom of the hill still knows that I'm kind of coming from that side because they're the ones that kill my teammates. So I get up to some rocks, and they're in the middle of fighting other people that are like on the same hill as me, but way to my left. So at this point, it's me by myself and two complete teams of three. And while they're fighting the other team, I start shooting at the guys down the hill from me. They call in an airstrike on me, which means a plane's coming in and shooting at me. So I dart off to the left. They shoot at me. I hide behind a rock. The airstrike misses me. And so I'm kind of like ducked behind this rock, just hoping that I somehow can survive. And just out of nowhere, one dude just rushes me, but he didn't know where I was in these rocks. So he like runs past me, shoot him in the back. He's done. All these bullets start flying over me because they know I'm there. They're just kind of trying to get me to peek out.
They just don't know exactly where you're at, but they know you're up there.
Right. So I'm chilling. And if you've ever played Warzone, you know, like trying to run on the rocks is horrible. The game, like they couldn't figure it out. So like I'm slipping all over the place, just trying to stay hidden. And then I hear that the other team, the other team of three that I haven't even seen yet, start shooting the guys that are shooting me. So I use this as a time to peek down. And I catch one guy in the open because the circle keeps closing and it makes people move. And I catch one guy in the open. I drop him. And then I look up and there at this point, I didn't know it, but there was two people from the same team and that was everybody. I look up and one of the dudes just running right at me and I immediately drop him. So now it's one-on-one. And I peek over the rock and the other guy's coming at me and he throws a stun. I get stunned, so that means like you can barely do anything, but I'd already aimed at him, so I start hitting him with some bullets, so he backs off, and then I try to reload and realize I'm out of ammo with that gun. So I switch guns to a gun that's meant for up close, and I just said, fuck it, and I just ran at this guy, but I kind of used the side of the hill to cover me, and so I didn't come up and over the hill until I knew I was close enough to him. I come over. He sees me. We're shooting at each other, but I had the better shots, and I drop him, and I clutched it for my team. Wow. And I got hyped, dude. I was yelling.
Was this on – did you Twitch this?
Yes, I did. It's all on Twitch. I actually recorded it. I'll probably throw up on my Twitter.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Yeah, dude, it was nuts. And it was exactly how I described it, too. So it was legit. And, you know, like I said, we were playing trios, so it was all teams of three, but I was by myself. So that was legit. It was crazy. But anyways, not what we're doing the emergency pod for. No, nobody does it better. Yeah. So the 49ers today, not as exciting as my Warzone story, but still legit. The 49ers finally did what everybody thought they were going to do, that Kyle Shanahan did not hide well, and they went and signed former Patriots, former Falcons wide receiver, Mohamed Sanu, who is at this point a veteran guy, but he's somebody that's already had plenty of experience in Kyle Shanahan's offense in Atlanta. He's going to be able to come in. He's going to know the system pretty well right off the bat. And it's just meant to really kind of add a little bit of veteran depth and an impact player to that roster. But I don't want to talk too much. Crocker, you tell me what just your general thoughts on what you think that Mohamed Sanu signing means and kind of the impact he's going to have.
Well, you know, the other day I alluded to the fact that, you know, the biggest issue for the 49ers was no vertical threat. And he doesn't solve that issue, but he is a, you know, reliable pass catcher. I think right now when you go a game where Trent Taylor, no catches, Dante Pettis, no catches, Kendrick Bourne, too, you have to do something. Now, the key here was what you told me yesterday. Deebo Samuel had a setback. Now, is it going to be out, you know, 2 more weeks? Is it going to be 5 more weeks, 6 more weeks? You know, I don't know when he's going to come back. You have to do something, because even when IU comes back, how confident are you with IU, Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne, and, you know, like, that's it. You know, like, how confident are you with that receiver group? Not very. So you had to make a move to where, you know, while Deebo is out, You feel like you have, okay, I got Ayuk and I got Mohamed Sanu out there, and I have Kendrick Bourne playing off of him. And I think that would be a good little trio right there to get us through until Deebo comes back, if he comes back. If he doesn't, you're going to need this rookie Ayuk to kind of really step up and be a big play guy, because I think Sanu is, you know, consistent, but I don't know if he's the big play guy that, you know, we got a lot of big plays out of. Emmanuel Sanders last year, Deebo Samuel, and I just don't see that type of explosiveness with Sanu. So I like the signing. It was one that I said when you told me, I was really surprised to hear that Deebo had a setback. And as soon as you told me, I said you got to go get Sanu. And a lot of other people were singing the same thing. You know, you have to go get somebody. Now, obviously, there were, you know, today you woke up and Odell trade rumors and Robinson trade rumors, but it looked like 49ers settled in on somebody who they knew could come in, knew the playbook, can know his role, and hit the ground running and, you know, get ready for the Jets, and the 49ers really need that.
All right, so this is going to seem awkward doing this right now, but keep in mind, this is an emergency pod. It's going to be real short, no more than like 20 minutes. So before we go on for too long, we've got to get a quick word in from our sponsors so that we can talk more Sanu, more 49ers receivers, and we will be right back. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi is made for football watching. Along with Pepsi, we've got Indeed. And even though your sports have had a break, your business probably didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world, because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You can only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there will no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make sure your search that much easier. Like sponsor jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. That is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offers valid through September 30th. Okay, so let's just say, I mean, we kind of know what we got from the 49ers receiving corps against the Cardinals in week one, which wasn't a lot at all. Now, Kyle Shanahan did say that they were not really a part of the game plan, but at the same time, it just, there was nothing that happened there that would inspire any confidence whatsoever. Right. So that is one motivation for signing Mohamed Sanu. The other motivation to me, and this is one that's a little bit of a question mark that we still have to wait to see, was how, and you mentioned this already, how long is Deebo Samuel going to be out? Because he got placed on injured reserve. That means a minimum of 3 weeks. Now, to kind of squelch any already budding worry from anybody out there, Kyle Shanahan has already said yesterday that they hope that Deebo Samuel will be able to return against the Eagles at home in week four. That would mean a three-week abstinence. To me, if they had fears that that absence was going to be longer, or I'll say it this way, significantly longer, then I don't think those words would have ever come out of Shanahan's mouth. But, you know, maybe since then they've learned something that spurred the Mohamed Sanu signing. You know, the Deebo Samuel and Mohamed Sanu don't necessarily fill the same roles in the offense. Like, Deebo Samuel could be doing fine. He could be slated to come back week four, and they still have reason to sign Mohamed Sanu. So I don't want anybody out there to think that because they signed Sanu, it must mean that Deebo is in bad shape. Now, obviously, he had a setback. All they described it as was additional soreness that didn't go away right away. So we don't know anything there as far as, you know, if there's any more info that we don't know. You know, because we don't know. But, right. You know, I believe it's like, and you said this earlier, Mohamed Sanu is not quite an Emmanuel Sanders type signing. You know, they traded a third and essentially a fifth. Third and a fourth, but then they got a fifth back. So, you know, that sort of thing for Emmanuel Sanders. But when they were, and it's worth mentioning, the 49ers were initially said to be trying to get Mohamed Sanu. And that would explain why the Patriots, who are notoriously shrewd with their trade deals, were willing to give up a second-round pick just last year for Sanu. Because I guarantee you, the 49ers said to the Falcons, we'll give you a third. And then the Falcons turned around and said to the Patriots, if you want Mohamed Sanu, it's going to take a second. And they did it. And now he's already a free agent, and the 49ers are going to sign him for nothing, you know, other than the money it takes to get him. So... But I don't want to say productivity, but what kind of role do you see him having here, Kroc? Like, do you think Jimmy's going to start throwing the ball to him like 5+ times a game? You know his skill set better than I know his skill set. How do you think he kind of fits into the whole deal?
Yeah, he's one of those like safety blanket guys. So, you know, it can be something where like right away, you know, they just figure out how to get him like opening space. And with Jimmy Garoppolo, especially, I think what we saw from Sunday is it's not like guys aren't like getting open at all. I just don't think he trusts the guys to be where he needs them to be. And that seemed like a bigger issue. So if he can just trust him like he did with Emmanuel Sanders last year, right? Sanders came in and boom, 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 touchdown, a few catches and kind of kept that going. I think you could see something similar with Sanu. Now he might not have the catch and run ability like we saw from Emmanuel Sanders. They definitely win in different ways, but he can win. I think Kyle will put him in position to do well. But yeah, he is more of a bigger slot, so you'll see him line up in more tighter splits. But he'll run, you know, a bunch of overs, outs, you know, just a lot of things that Kyle Shanahan likes guys to do in his offense. And but I just think that there will probably be a little bit better trust factor there.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And if you're looking for some type of comparison, I think Sanu brings a very similar skill set to somebody like Jordan Reed, that with obviously, you know, a bit more of a receiver's pedigree, but he's a big dude. He's 6'2", 215 pounds. He's somebody that's going to be physical. He's going to block. He knows what Shanahan demands out of his system, and he's going to come in and he's, you know, you think of the fact that, you know, they've already got a Kittle, who's obviously a huge target. You have Jordan Reed, who they're already starting to utilize. You have putting somebody in like Mike Muhammad Sanu in the slot, who's not too much smaller than those two guys. And, you know, you're really kind of building out like a physical kind of dominating presence with your, with at least those three targets. And the big thing is like Crocker said, it's a safety blanket. It's a guy that Jimmy knows has been there and done that. He can expect him to create a little bit of separation, or at the very least go up and muscle somebody for the ball, you know, and really fight for the ball, which I am sure that it's not a factor whatsoever, but you know, you look at that that underthrown pass that Jimmy threw against the Cardinals and the one that kind of Bourne waited on. And this is not a slide on Bourne. That was a horribly thrown pass. But Muhammad Sanu is the guy that's going to go up and he's going to out-muscle people for it because he's a big dude and he likes to throw his weight around. So, you know, it's just somebody that fits in. And I think that, that like Crocker said, he's going to – I think that Jimmy's probably going to start throwing to him right away.
Yeah, and I think Kyle's looking at it like, I know what I'm getting from him. With some of these other guys, they're just so much unknown. Like, I think with Muhammad Sanu, you know exactly how you're going to put him into the game plan, right? Kyle Shanahan, that was one thing he touched on where, you know, he was saying, you know, I didn't really include the receivers into the game plan. I think with Sanu, I think he will be included into this game plan and kind of play him off of George Kittle.
Right. Yeah, I think that pretty much does it. Now, the 49ers, apparently, I've seen both on Twitter. It's a little confusing with the new rules. I'm not sure that if the 49ers are going to have to clear a roster spot, because I think with the new IR rules, given that you can put them on there for such a short period of time, those 3 weeks, I'm pretty sure that Deebo Samuel still counts against the roster because – you know, if you think about it, if a guy's only going to be off the roster for, or, you know, off not playing for 3 weeks, you're probably not going to have the roster. Now, like I said, I've seen both. There could be an open roster spot and nobody needs to be cut in order to sign Sanu at the same time.
Yeah, that's what happened. They were at 52 before the Sanu signing, so they don't have to release anyone.
Right. That's what I thought. But then you have like Matt Maiocco, who is like, you know, the patron saint of 49ers news. And he at a point thought that the 49ers were going to have to create a roster spot. So hold on. Just reading his tweet, some crazy dude on Twitter just got in touch with me. Guy goes by Matt Barrows. Seems shady. But anyway, he reminded me that the 49ers had 52 players on their roster, so no room is needed to activate Muhammad Sanu. There you go. So Croc was on it already. So they're not going to need to cut anybody. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be any type of movement. Kyle Shanahan already said that he was concerned about Richie James' hamstring, which could just mean they expect him to miss, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, or it could mean that it's such a significant hamstring injury that he's got to miss, you know, either a good chunk of the season or the rest of the season. But that's entirely speculative. But for now, it's, you know, you can take solace in knowing that Muhammad Sanu can step into the fold. He's already on his way to Santa Clara. I'm assuming his pro will probably be at practice tomorrow, and he can kind of immediately step in there and start building up that rapport with Jimmy Garoppolo and the rest of the offense. So, I mean, as far as expectations go, I wouldn't expect for Sanu to step in. Like, I wouldn't think you guys need to expect Sanu to step in and have, like, kind of be like an Emmanuel Sanders type. But I think that he'll still be a presence. You know, maybe whatever that this quantifies as, like a notch below what we were seeing from Sanders as far as his productivity and how much he was involved. But
I think it'd be very similar, just in a different way. Because you got to remember, like, yeah. Sanders, outside of the Saints game, he didn't have huge numbers. You know, the Saints game kind of, like, you know, he had, like, 150 yards and, like, a touchdown. Outside of that, like, a lot of his games were, like, around 40 yards receiving. I think that maybe the Cardinals game, he had about 70, 80 yards or something like that. But a lot of the games were, like, around 40 yards receiving or so. It wasn't like he was just going crazy. I think at that same time, Deebo Samuel was starting to turn up a little bit. So, you know, he was eating up a lot of yards and catches.
Well, and I was about to contradict myself too, because right when I was saying that I wouldn't expect him to have a similar role to Sanders, I was thinking, well, there's Trent Taylor, Dante Pettis, and Kendrick Bourne are his competition for targets as far as receivers go. So, you know, I think the 49ers are kind of expecting to get Ayuk back this week. And I think they're kind of maybe penciling him in for a role against the Jets, you know, but again, that's a brand new rookie seeing his first NFL snaps, you know, that kind of should tell you right there. When you couple that with the general inexperience or lack of impact with all the other receivers, that's why going out and picking up somebody like Sanu was so important for the 49ers, because you just have to have a guy that's been there and done that, you know. And now if you include Jordan Reed and George Kittle, they do have at least two or three guys that they can go to consistently to move the chains and hopefully kind of give Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit of comfort with after whatever we saw on Sunday. So, but anyways, I mean, that pretty much covers it. Literally, folks, we jumped on here just to talk to you about this signing, break down what it meant. Obviously, it's not going to be an hour-long pod. Croc, you got any other thoughts you want to get out before we roll out of here?
Nah, that's it. I do feel a little bit more comfortable. Real quick, have we heard anything about Brandon Ayuk?
No. Okay. I mean, I did. I think Kyle Shanahan did say that he would be surprised. That's kind of like his statement. Like, he'd be surprised if he didn't start practicing this week. So, you know, and he got a couple practices in last week. So, I mean, I think everything's kind of lining up for him. But there hasn't been anything new and noteworthy about him lately. Oh, and one thing we should say, it was reported today by NFL Network's Mike Garofalo and Mike Silver that the 49ers and George Kittle are cautiously optimistic about his knee. And they kind of like, it sounded like they expect him to play this week. So there might be a little bit of soreness there, but they expect him to play this week. And that's all that's been reported so far. Could the 49ers be careful with him, given they probably feel pretty good about their chances against the Jets? Maybe. But the word right now is that he's expected to play. So, and I guess that's it, man. This is our first. I mean, obviously Mohamed Sanu isn't a huge name guy, but I mean, essentially this is like our first emergency pod that we've jumped on here for. So that's cool. And yeah, we're not going to drag it on. So as always, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for being a part of Striking Gold. Tomorrow, Crocker and I will be tweeting out mailbag a post. So reply to that, answer a 49ers or ask us a 49ers question. And if you hear this and you just want to send us one, just send us one, and we'll include you in the mailbag where I answer it on our when we record, and that will be what our Wednesday episodes are dedicated to. So tomorrow, mailbag. Make sure you're checking our Twitters so you can submit your question. As always, thank you for the support. We appreciate it. But for another day, I want to say another week, because we used to be like once a week, but now we're big time. So. Yep. For another episode, this is Striking Gold, signing out.
Peace!
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going to take the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.